right on to work in our factories and offices and laundromats and record shops.
The way our system works, you pay for the privilege of being propaganda.
Working conditions that are worse in many respects than slavery.
That's what's being driven out of people's heads. You're only supposed to care about yourself.
Rise Up is Alberta's only radical news alternative, coming at you every Wednesday at 5:30. So let's toss the TV off the balcony and get ready to party on Rise Up Radio Free Edmonton, here on the mighty CJSR FM 88, as far left as your FM dial gets.
Why should you work on command? I mean, if you work on command, you're some kind of slave. No? Why not work because it's coming out of your needs and interests?
Finding ways to challenge a capitalist system. We're talking about capitalism in the age of globalization, right? We're talking about global.
Recently, the Canadian Urban Transit Association announced that public transit ridership increased by over 3% in the past year. More people all over Canada are using transit than ever before. But are municipal and provincial governments supporting transit in the most effective ways? Citizens across Alberta are organizing to impact public policy on transit. RCJSR correspondent Samantha Power spoke with the recently formed Transit Riders Union here in Edmonton and the established Fair Fares campaign in Calgary.
Edmonton is beginning to see transit as a necessary development for the future. But how are Edmontonians being engaged in the process? Citizens in Edmonton, from parent-teacher associations, transportation engineers, to students and low-income transit users, are mobilizing to engage City Council to change transit to work for citizens. The Transit Riders Union here in Edmonton recently formed to impact public policy on transit for the citizens of Edmonton. I spoke with Brian Gould, a founder of the group, on how they plan to impact public policy in Edmonton. So what brought this group together?
Well, there's two ways to answer that, and I'll start with the literal way. I actually found out off of Craigslist, which is kind of weird because that's the first and only time I've been there. So it's really kind of an organic grassroots thing. It's mainly through email, and basically what happened is we had a small group that met out in the spring and laid down a few points. I wasn't in on this. I joined later on. But the 6 points were building a transit-friendly city and curbing urban sprawl, keeping the system affordable for those who need it most, planning of more efficient routes as compared to the meandering and rather inefficient routes we currently have, and expanding late-night service past about 11 o'clock would be nice, cleaning up the environment by reducing pollution from vehicles, ensuring transit police and other security are accountable and in touch with the needs of transit riders, supporting effective promotional material to encourage increased ridership. But even those 6 points don't cover everything that ETS could stand to improve. But we've got a core group committed to building the foundation from scratch, and once that's complete, we're trying to figure out how we're going to start an aggressive recruiting campaign and then bring more people in. Even right now, we're still trying to get everyone involved to make sure we've represented everyone properly.
So what is the composition of your group?
I think the core group was mainly into social work.
And so what techniques are you using to bring this to the attention of the public and City Hall?
Over this weekend, we had a meeting with a bunch of environmental and citizen action groups to prepare a draft proposal on the West Bus Rapid Transit. Basically, City Council invited us and I think the Sierra Club and the Meteor Neighborhoods Alliance and stuff like that to look at how we could solve some of the issues they're having with public relations and costs and things. I also submitted a letter to the editor to the journal along the same lines. One of our other members, one of the founders actually, is currently working on a more general letter to the journal just to get us introduced, get a little, sorry, name recognition. And a third way we've been getting the message out is through Connect to Edmonton, which is an online forum for various regional issues. It's pretty much a continuous think tank session, so we're trying to capture some of the creative energy from there. We're moving to the point where we have a solid enough base of people that we're starting to think about the best way to get our message out there and how to get more people actively involved in sending that message to the city and to ETS.
So the city is actually undertaking a lot of transit projects over the next few years. And has held several transit consultations with the public. Do you feel that the city effectively engages citizens in the public transit debate, and how could they change that?
I've been to one myself. It was on the South LRT, and it mainly seemed to be area residents, which was one of the interesting things I thought. Like, if you take a bus, you're likely to see tons of advertising and maybe a notice of a service cutback that they're planning. But have you ever seen an advertisement for one of these open houses? You're basically missing out on your target audience. If the city was truly serious about hearing transit riders, we would have been targeted by advertisements on transit vehicles with which routes to take and locations chosen based on accessibility by transit. If we keep having open houses in areas designated for travel by car, those are the people who will attend them. And, I mean, largely the feedback we've heard from people who attend these things is that they're more designed to showcase what it is that they're planning rather than to take into any real feedback. So hopefully we can change some of that.
And a lot of your group's goals are in line with some of the transit-oriented policies of the current transportation master plan of the city, but a lot of those ideas aren't being implemented. Where do you think the missing link is between the plans of City Council and the actual implementation?
I think the missing link between transit-friendly policies of City Council and their implementation is actually City Council. I mean, we've had an official Smart Choices policy for more than 4 years now, and I don't know about you, but I haven't seen our choices get much smarter. I think the city's website sums it up nicely. If you use the search function, you find a Smart Choices folder that reads, "This folder does not contain any items." So, while the policies are all very noble-sounding with the recommendations for increased density, sustainability, and transit-oriented development, that's all City Council seems to regard them as, just guidelines. Everyone agrees that sustainability is a good thing, but no one knows what that means. I mean, Stony Plain Road outside Anthony Henry Drive is supposed to follow sustainable principles for design and development in the future, but correct me if I'm wrong, maybe it's been changed to a mixed-use, walkable neighborhood since I was last there, but Stony Plain Road is an expressway. Plans are on the books to upgrade it, and I'm making air quotes here, to freeway. Since when is a freeway with strict commercial development you can only reach by driving sustainable in any way? And nearby, Winterburn Road is supposed to be improved, and we got air quotes again here, to a six-lane road with widely spaced intersections, great for high speed. The recommendations also state that no bus stops will be allowed along it, which forces buses to wind through residential neighborhoods that, again, were probably claimed to be transit-friendly in the planning report, but are horrible for transit speed and efficiency. And it goes on. Like, the newly planned Heritage Valley, slated to receive a South LRT extension, claims to be smart growth. The lovingly drawn plans paint this picture of a dense and walkable town center focused on an LRT station, and all compact and pedestrian-friendly. But the town center is located between two high-speed arterials, half a dozen blocks apart. Apart from the center, it's just more of the same sprawl. I mean, what's going to affect the shape of the area more, the LRT station or the high-speed roads? And one interesting policy there is that bus stops can't be located in front of the schools. How exactly is a transit supportive development if one of your main market segments can't even take the bus to school? And because most planners, engineers, and counselors drive to work, we have drivers defining congestion problems, which works really well for them, but they're also defining smart growth, transit policies, and sustainability. It's an obvious conflict of interest. I mean, City Council is apparently unable to see for themselves that there's essentially no difference between what is planned today from what has been planned what has been built in the past. You've got wide medians that are now known as transit rights of way, but Ellerslie Road has about as much hope of sustaining LRT in the future as Millwood does today. High-density developments are still located in the least desirable and most isolated locations, except now that's called smart growth. The picture hasn't changed, just the words used to describe it. And City Council rubber stamps it without even looking at what they're really doing. You can't add a sidewalk to an arterial road to make it walkable. You can't segregate high density from low to make it diverse. You can't increase heights to make it more compact or add gray water recycling to make it sustainable. We need people who walk to define walkability. We need transit riders to define transitory development. We need people to define a community, not some developer who tries to sell the same bad package wrapped up in fancy new paper to help his bottom line.
So with this missing link between transit-friendly policy and actual implementation, where do you hope your group fits into actually getting transit-friendly policy implemented?
I'm hoping we can look at the plans that they've got appearing before council, because all these plans get approved, and they're all available on the city's website. And if you go through it, some of the plans for Ellerslie Road near 50th Street just astound me. And hopefully someone can point out to City Council that this isn't really doing a heck of a lot.
Vibrant Communities Calgary has a Fair Fares campaign, which focuses specifically on the affordability of public transit. How come your group decided to cover a broader range of topics?
I think focusing on reducing fares for low-income riders is a worthwhile goal, and I think they're right on target when they say that poverty limits social participation by reducing access to transportation. And ETS also seems to acknowledge this connection with their subsidized seniors passes, even though they're planning hefty fare hikes for everyone else. But whether either effort is doing enough to reduce the cost of transit, of course, depends on your point of view. But what they both miss is that if transit isn't quick, if it can't get you where you're going, or if it simply doesn't meet your needs, it can't really reduce social isolation. I mean, transit issues are more diverse than cost. There are so many self-imposed barriers to widespread efficient transit than this one point. Our culture is conditioned to see transit as welfare for the poor, who we can all benefit from improved transit, whether it's from reduced environmental impact, improved walkability,